mantle falls on you, doesn't it? Now that's true of this too. And let's just look at the words. I'm going to read, first of all, I'm going to read Colossians 25 through 27. That's of chapter 1. And yours is going to read close to this. The first version I'm reading goes like this. I became a minister according to the divine office, which was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known in the mystery hidden from all generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? Now that's a translation, but there it is. That's a good one. Let me pray. Oh God, bless my brothers, I pray, and help me to be correct. Correct my thinking, Lord, so that at least we can think fresh in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read a different one. This is called NET. Ed and Toby, and that, this is their Bible. I became a servant of the church according to the stewardship from God given to me for you, in order to complete the word of God, that is the mystery that is kept hidden from ages and generations revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known to you the glorious riches of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I'm going to read the Weymouth. I don't think any of you will have a Weymouth in your hand. He was first published in 1902, but the final edited New Testament is from the 1920s, and it's from Oxford, England. Okay. I have been appointed to serve the church in the position and responsibility entrusted to me by God. Doesn't this read different from your Bible? We're just getting ready to go to 25. Oh, well, let's start again. Start at verse 25 and try to follow me. I have been appointed to serve the church in the position of responsibility entrusted to me by God for your benefit, so that I may fully deliver the word of God, the truth that has been hidden for all generations and ages, but now been revealed to his saints, to whom it was his will to make known how vast the wealth and glory of the Gentile world, and is implied in this reality. The truth is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've read three different versions. All of them different. The basic is all the same. But all of them vary. How can they vary? Isn't that interesting? The translator has a tremendous influence on you because they've shaped what to you is going to be the Word of God. The words that Paul wrote haven't moved. They're there. But between them and you reading Paul is either a committee or a scholar who is giving you what they say the ancient word reads. In all three of these that I've read, all the same paragraph, behind them and in the middle of them was this, and I think you'll find it at verse 26, to make fully known the word of God. See those words? In order to make complete the word of God. Another one read, that I may fully deliver the word of God. You all have something like that? Okay, what is the word of God? I'm not playing with you now, I'm serious. What is the word of God? Jesus Christ. The Word of God. Now, we meet every Friday morning in this room And I'm sure our wives at home or whoever or somebody in this church thinks that we're studying the Bible. It's Bible study. And actually, that's what it's supposed to be, a Bible study. But the Bible exists because back there, some very special person who was dedicated to the God of Israel believed that the Word of God came to them. And they wrote it down because of their encounter with the Word of God. That implies, I think, brothers, that there is a God, and that this God communicates, or at least has communicated, to us humans, and that we humans can know that God by His Word that came to us. And Paul is saying in this paragraph, I became a minister, or I was given a divine assignment, or through the stewardship of the Lord, I have become a minister in order to complete or to fully present the Word of God. And you can say, well, Paul was used to write over half the New Testament. Yeah. But the reason he wrote those letters is because he was carrying out what he believed was his mission. And his mission was behind those letters. And that mission was, I've got to get out the Word of God. I have the Word of God. Behind there being a Church of Christ, behind there being any form of Christian church, before and beyond Roman Catholicism, before and beyond the Church of the Nazarene, the Wesleyan movement, there is this Word of God. And the Word of God is going on in the world, and every other thing, if what we believe is true, every other thing, organization, institution, cause, or purpose. Listen to this. Every other thing, institution, cause, mission, is going to pass away. Is temporary or is situational. But the Word of God is that which lasts. Okay? I want you to hear a couple brothers read some verses, and then I want to open it for discussion. Here's some verses. Hebrews 11, verse 3.
By faith we understand that the worlds were set in order at God's command, so that the visible has its origin in the invisible.
Okay, now the NET has chosen to translate the Greek language to say the command of God. And knowing them, they may have a footnote that tells you the Word of God.
Ages.
Uh-huh. He frames the ages. We believe that everything that exists has its origin in the Word of God. Did you know that the first flying object on another planet, a helicopter on the face of Mars that's been flying around on Mars for 3 years, crashed this week? The mission's over. 3 years we've been. I bet you got up several times in the last 3 years and said, I wonder how it's going on Mars today. Is that the thing? You haven't even thought about it. Somebody will say, I'm not sure I even knew about it. Yeah.
There's a word here used that I'm not familiar with. S-P-A-T-I-E-L. Spatial?
Spatial? S-P-A-T.
S-P-A-T-I-A-L. What exists in those time periods? What exists in those time periods?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, clear as mud.
Well, I'm sure in the front of your book it has a code that says what that stands for. That's the translator's note. That's down in your footnotes, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hebrews 1:2 for the same usage.
Guys, if you believe what the scriptures say about the earliest Christians, the first generation of Christians, they're saying that everything that exists looks permanent to you. Everything begins because God called it into existence. The source of everything is the Word of God. Things visible and things invisible. We are rediscovering because of Hollywood. Hollywood has put out, I have not seen it, but Hollywood has republished the creation of the nuclear bomb, the atom bomb, Manhattan Project of World War II, and Oppenheimer, the great scientist who headed it up. And we're talking about what really happened back there is at the end of the 1800s and the beginning of 1900s, in a select little group of people, physicists, they were more and more of the concept that you are more open nothingness than you are solid. You think you're solid, but there's a lot of space in you, and that the cells are made up of zillions of little things called atoms, and that the atoms are actually made up of electrons, protons, and neutrons. By the time you were a child in grade school, they were teaching you about protons, electrons, and neutrons, but nobody's ever seen those things. But we do believe they exist. And they proved it because they thought they could take a proton from it, and they found out this one little form of uranium, the 235, which was less than 10% of any molecule of uranium. But if you put a new, now who did that with stuff too little to see? And then they decided we could fire a neutron. Well, first you have to be able to get a neutron before you can fire a neutron and send that neutron into, and it will cause something, they gave the word fission to it, but a woman scientist in Europe did that. But the German scientists decided you could split the atom. Well, nobody's ever seen an atom. They're going to split it, okay? Well, of course, at a place called Trinity in New Mexico, we brought on the horror of everything because we found out that the basic building block of everything that exists, energy, is actually a form of light. And you got the famous guy Einstein and his E equals mc squared, but mass is actually energy, and behind that is the power of light. So what possessed a Semitic odd person in the Middle East some 2,000 years before the birth of Christ to write down, "In the beginning God said, let there be light"? How on earth did anybody know that? That the Word of God called the universe into existence, and the basic building block of everything that exists is light. Well, ask the people at Nagasaki or Hiroshima, and they found out. And what they found out is we now understand what is behind everything that exists, and it's reality. Now, this scripture writer who's writing Hebrews is saying, behind all that is the Word. Somebody had a hand up.
I don't know, it just blows my mind. Like you say, I mean, where did that come from? Was that a Holy Spirit thing? I mean, the mind of scientists?
Well, I don't know. The writer of Hebrews didn't say, I went to Athens and studied under Plato and I came up with a... How did they get that? See, if somehow this one we call the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit, somehow moved on men of old, and they conceived the inconceivable. Do you realize these little 26, 27 books we call our New Testament are the foundation of the greatest universities on earth, and they're still geniuses studying and re-tearing apart everywhere? That's why you have all those versions. These nerds are sitting there tearing apart everywhere because these words written by those uneducated Semites back there in the first century still are true. That's amazing, isn't it? The Word of God. Okay, listen to this. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14.
In the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And verse 14.
The Word became a human being. He made his home with us. We have seen his glory. It is the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, and the Word was full of grace and truth.
Okay, there's a chain going on there. Now, whenever I have one of you read, and he's read, Mike's read so well. By the way, what version are you using?
This is the New International Reader's Version.
New International Reader's Version. There is no end to translating.
No,
I have never heard of that one. That is, well, I feel like my whole Saturday's going to be worth it now. I'm looking that baby up. New International Reader's Version. Okay, there you go. Now, listen to that. And the Word became human being. He says, you all know enough Greek to know that's not what it reads, is it? The Word became flesh. But human being is correct, isn't it? But see, the translator said, well, they'll understand it better if I make it human being. And the translator felt the freedom to do that. This isn't me taking a verse and then feeling the freedom to depart while I preach or teach to you. This is putting it in print and calling it Scripture. See what I'm saying? The first preacher who preaches to you is not the guy in your pulpit on Sunday. The first preacher to preach to you is your text. They're already shaping what you think it said. But there you go. Listen to what it said. Originally, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So before there was anything, there was the Word. There never was a time, by the way, Roy's ill today. This is in the perfect tense. Passive voice.
Meaning?
Yeah. Okay.
In the beginning is not back here. It's this. There never was a time there wasn't the Word. The Word called the universe into existence. That's where time begins. But outside of beyond time, time is something the Word brought to us. But the Word is without time. Originally was the Word. The Word was with God because the Word was God. So God and the Word of God are not separable. God is the Word. When the Word comes to you, that is God.
Why would the writer use the word, the Word? I mean, what's the significance of Word?
Well, that's our English word,
okay.
Word. And the ancient word, which over half of you know, is Logos. And Logos means way more than Word. Because Logos has within it logic. The meaning, the mind of God is the reality of God. God is his mind. Now, does God have a brain? No. God gave you a brain so you'd have a mind. Your mind works on your brain. Some of you a little better than others. But your mind works on your brain. We have all this machinery. I have eyes, and we could just go into science. If light goes in, it gets on the visual. I can't think of the right word. Audio is going to be in my ear. Anyhow,
in the beginning,
I did not mean to be sacrilegious. At any rate, do you see what happens? I have a brain so that I can have a mind, but God, I don't know how God does it. God is beyond all that. He created my brain. What we have up here is we have the mind of God, and the mind of God is the will of God, and the will of God communicates itself as the word of God. And the ancient word, Greek logic, has all that in it, and you can't come up with a word in English that does all that.
Can I share minutia with you? The reference of the word beginning has to be defined from the context, since there is no beginning or ending with God.
That's right. In the beginning does not mean in the beginning of God. In the beginning means the beginning of the universe. But there is no beginning to God.
What's the flesh of this?
Flesh is physical. Just think of it that way. The ancient Greeks' way of saying physical is flesh. It can be positive or negative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm attracted to female flesh and I'm married to it, it's positive. If I'm not married to it, it's a negative.
Can I share a little bit more? I'm sorry. The verse refers to the beginning of the world as we know it. It affirms that it is entirely the product of the creation of God.
And that creation comes to us through God spoke it into existence. Let there be. Everything that exists has its root. Now you see, why'd I go into Oppenheimer? Because I wanted to say, the foundation we found out of all our physical nature is the stuff called these little atoms with all the stuff that makes up atoms. And now, inside electrons and neutrons, they've gotten a whole smaller world, and they're dealing with all that that's been.
If you're interested, Oppenheimer's on YouTube in charge right now.
Oh, good. I didn't know that, but I'm not promoting the movie. I'm just trying to say we're back thinking about that stuff. And here we are, okay? Listen to 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is the work in you believers.
This is true of several of you in this room, but let me just use myself as an illustration. When I preach or teach, am I bringing the word of God? Hopefully. The word of Gary isn't worth a flip. Ask my wife. However, she wants me to give my word on some things. Now, let's say that I believe. I believe because I'm preaching. Let's say that this Sunday I were preaching here and I've got 30 minutes or whatever they give me. Hopefully within that 30 minutes, I'm preaching the Word of God. Hopefully. Because I'm speaking, since I am anointed and ordained and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When I speak, is it automatically the Word of God? No, there's a lot of Gary in it. How can I know when it's the Word of God? That's really something, isn't it? Now, for me, what I would say is it's not the Word of God when I preach it. It is the Word of God if the Holy Spirit applies it to you and the Holy Spirit to you. In other words, God Himself is the only one who can validate the Word of God. Does that make sense? God never identifies with a human individual. The Word of God may come upon the prophet Hosea, and he may speak the word of God, but Hosea never becomes the word of God. Are you all right? So here we have Paul writing in Thessalonians, when you received our word, you recognized it was not the word of man, but the word of God. If that's true, and I believe it's true. I believe that's what happened in Thessalonica. But if that's true, then Paul at that moment was in touch with the source of everything that exists, the word of God. I'm going to sin now. The church of Christ will not last forever. But the word of God will.
The church. You talking about the title or the being?
I'm talking about the organization. The church of the Nazarene will not exist. These are all man-made structures. What exists forever is God's life within you. God is the eternal life. And Paul's writing at the moment of his death from a prison cell to a church in Colossae, I have existed to bring to fullness the word of God. And were you trying to say something, Ed? I'm sorry. Out of my peripheral, I thought I picked up. Here's Mark's gospel. Mark chapter, I hope I gave this to someone. I'm now questioning myself. Mark 13:31, did I give that to anyone? Yes, here we go.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
The universe may not be permanent, but the word is. So Jesus is saying, what I am teaching you is more permanent than this temple in which you are sitting. Isn't that something? The permanency of the word of God. Revelation 19:3.
Once more they cried out, Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever.
That's 19:3.
Yeah.
I blew that one.
No,
I guess. I'm not sure what chapter it's in, but it says that he went forth riding, and across his vesture was the name, the word of God. And I hope by the time of my Monday Bible study, I get the correct verse in there. The word of God, somebody said this earlier, is Jesus Christ. Now, politicians will be saying to you all the time, we are built on the Judeo-Christian ethic, which means that the Bible is the foundation of American concept of republic. Okay? That's what it means. But brothers, Jesus Christ, who was a Hebrew of the first century, is crucified and rejected by the elders of Israel. Because though he is an Israelite in compliance with Israel, Israel has built a system around the living God that does not recognize the living God when he actually comes to him. They are being religious about him, but they don't know him. The Judeo-Christian ethic is a human interpretation of biblical foundations and philosophy. But you and I wouldn't even know each other if this hadn't happened. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms that Jesus is the Messiah. And as a result, all the teachings of Jesus become absolutely approved of God and the truth because Jesus rose from the dead. We interpret the crucifixion now for our atonement and his blood for our salvation because he rose from the dead. Therefore, Jesus himself becomes the center of the revelation of God. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And somebody say, well, I believe in the Ten Commandments. Well, that's not good enough. The truth was in Jesus Christ. Grace, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and he is its message. He is the Word of God. Now, Paul says, I exist for that Word of God. And that's going on in this, because he's going to say, it was a mystery hidden to all former ages. You mean that when Moses made the Ark of the Covenant and had the leaders do it, and he anointed the Levites to set up the priests, and when they got to the Jordan and they crossed over and the water parted and all that, and then they finally conquered, and then they finally, by the time of Solomon, were able to build the temple, and they got the temple, got in there, and the fire fell, and all the way, and all that stuff. You mean they still didn't understand? No, if Paul's right, by the way, I think he's right, but if Paul's right, Paul's saying the mystery was hidden. They knew about God, but they still did not know God. And that God comes to them in Jesus Christ. Now, where is that? That's right in this beginning chapter, right there. And you can find it, verse 26. It is a mystery hidden for the ages, unknown especially to Israel, who is, if it's unknown to Israel, you don't have a prayer for Persia. Give up the Greeks. Did the Greeks do some amazing stuff? Amazing stuff. They're brilliant. They started the academic season. They are human intelligence at the highest level. They don't come anywhere near Israel. Israel's the one who knows there's one. They still think gods are living on Mount Olympus, those Greeks. Mm-hmm. This mystery was still hidden from Israel. Okay. Say, I see God in a sunset and it just blesses my soul. Well, you can know there is a God through sunsets, but you cannot know God through the sunset. You can only know him through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he has to come to you. Okay? You all right? I'm trying to work my way through Paul saying what he's saying here. So the issue then is God himself. Not causes about God. His word, and his word is his self. The word of God is God. Then how will I know where the word is most purely, clearly, undistractedly seen? The answer is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Is that making sense? Am I out of time? No, I've got time. I don't trust this watch. It's dying. What time is it? Quarter till? Yeah. See, I'm saying 20 till because my watch is not keeping time anymore. Okay, you don't have the outline, but I do. And here's, we're at point three, which is coming down toward the bottom. Okay. The God of which I've been speaking this morning out of this text, God is. God exists. God is absolutely pure, untainted. Everything that exists comes from him. Out of him. Everything is him. God is the only real life. Could somebody look up and read for us John chapter 5, verses 25 through 27? Could I have a volunteer for that? John 5, 25 through 27. David, thank you. We'll come right back to you in just a minute. Not only when mom and dad made love was Ed conceived. Ed has a beginning. There was a time on earth he didn't exist. And there's a time coming when he won't exist anymore either.
It's coming soon.
Sooner than a lot of us know. But his life, Ed's life, your life, is a gift. You didn't bring yourself into existence. Every life that exists comes out of God. The only life that is life unto itself is God. Okay? Here's John's 5th chapter. Jesus is speaking, 25 through 27.
Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to condemnation.
God willing, at 1 o'clock today, I'll mound the platform at the old church where I pastored to do a funeral message for a friend of mine that I was his pastor for almost 2 decades. His name's Phil. Phil has died now, and the family's asked me to come back and speak at his funeral. Phil will not hear my voice. His family will. But according to what I hear in Jesus saying in this text, the eternal life that is at, the eternal life that is at the source of the universe, granted that that same eternal life, and the way Jesus has it in English is, the Father has granted that I have life unto myself. The original life, out of which all other life came, was the life that lived in Jesus. That eternal life is now going to judge the world because he has become the Son of Man. In other words, the one who called the universe into existence is now a fellow human being. As such, all created universe, and in this case, human life, will be judged by him, because he is the eternal life. The same life that was in the Father is the life that is in the Son. And that life, even though you didn't know it, is what called you into existence to begin with. And when you are dead, I'm back picking on Ed now. If Ed is dead for another 1,000 years, in his grave he will hear the voice of Jesus of Nazareth, the eternal Word of God. And when the angel shouts, it won't be a shout to Ed, he will hear, "Ed, come forth." I'm going to hear, "Gary, come forth." But the Word of God will come to me again, and I will live. Not by anything I've done, but I'll live because I have united my life with the Word of God that is the source of eternity. And this is what Paul is writing at the end of Colossians, to make fully known the Word of God, which is a mystery that was hidden from all ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, our sexy little translations are all trying to say, the hope of seeing glory, or the hope of entering glory, or the hope of... No, glory is not something separate from him. Glory is him. See? And your translator's trying to turn it into an object, and it isn't an object. The hope of glory is, in fact, Jesus Christ in you. Do you think Jesus is going to say, Frank, you were such a good elder. Man, I remember that meeting you chaired back there. And do you think he's going to say, Gary, what a good preacher? He's going to say, you really were bad sometimes, you know that? No, he's not. That's not it. It's whether or not I'm united to him. He's the eternal life, see? And it really is just me and him. And it's you and him. And that's the whole thing. That's the only reason this Bible exists, is to bring you into union with him. Okay? By the way, I've reached the bottom of my page. So here's the final points. I'm just going to read them. See, then you'll see it if you open up your computer when I finally conquer mine. It goes like this. God is always greater than I can grasp. I always have a limited view of God because my brain can only go so far. Number two, God chooses when and what to reveal. Okay? Jesus is the ultimate become present tense. He's as much of God as I can get or grasp. And everything according to the scriptures, multiple times in your New Testament, it says is for him, through him, and to him. Everything. Israel, the only reason there's an Old Testament is so that Jesus will come. Let's get the world ready. See, what we call the nation of Israel today exists to preserve the covenant of the Old Testament. Oh, no. The covenant existed for him. See. Our glory is found in centering in him. Christ in you is the mystery. It really is the whole thing. Everything else is secondary. This is the Christian good news. And this is what you call theology. That Christ, you can't get beyond him. He's the fullness of it. In fact, we can't even get through him. God chose to reveal his very nature and being in Jesus. In other words, if God were here right now, what would he do? Just what Jesus did. How did God act? What's God's personality like? Jesus. That is God. God chose to reveal his being in Jesus. Of this, Paul said, I became a minister. So, of this, I, Gary, tell you, I became a minister by divine appointment. And we became men of hope. What is that hope? For ages and generations, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. Any question? That brings us to chapter 2. And if you're not here next Friday, you'll begin to miss chapter 2. All right? Any question at all? Comment? Well, let's try this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.